So today we are going to do an interesting topic, that is the book The Deep of the Mind by Mohenendra Kurunde Jnanananda Mahatheru. And this is actually based on one interesting sutta called Kalakarama Sutta. So this sutta is actually not that popular in today's Dhamma circles, because it has some dry kind of statements and fairly deep and again fairly short. Actually, there are other suttas explaining certain Dhamma which are pretty long. But this sutta, even though extremely important and extremely, extremely valuable, it is quite short. Therefore, understanding it quickly and just by glancing it is not possible. And the sutta name is given because this is mentioned in one of the place which is built by Kalaka Situ, one of the merchant called Kala. So that is where the sutta being preached. So that is why the name is given as Kalakarama Sutta. It is preached at Kalakarama. And the statements given are quite comprehensive and fairly deep, and it touches certain aspects of the Buddha. And there is a considerable amount of historical background for the sutta, and Buddha's marvelous qualities are described in a more concise manner. And the wisdom of the Buddha, more transcendental type of wisdom, is explained. And again, it is mentioned in the commentary, when this sutta is delivered, at 5 occasions, the earth was trembled. And again, there is an interesting situation, like you know, during the Emperor Asoka to Sri Lanka, Venerable Mahinda brought Buddhism. So he came along with several others, and he actually used the king, Devanampiyatissa, his assistants, to spread Buddhism in Sri Lanka. And he used Chullahatti Padapoma Sutta as the very first sermon to the Sri Lankans. But on the other hand, you know, there are various other arahants who were sent to various other areas within the vicinity of India. And one arahant called Maharakkhita, Venerable Maharakkhita, was sent to Yonakas. And it is believed that this Yonakas is similar to today's Greece. And actually this Venerable Maharakkhita used Kalakarama Sutta as the theme of his Dhamma sermon. And you know that Greeks are more into philosophical sides, and they are more interested of such kind of teachings. And therefore, it is mentioned there are 37,000 people attained or understood the teaching when this particular sutta being delivered by Venerable Maharakkhita. And on the other hand, in Sri Lanka also there is an interesting incident happened, and this is also very well known in the Buddhist circles. And one monk, he is also an arahant, called Kala Buddharakkhita. The Kala term is referring for black. Kala Buddharakkhita Thera, he preached Kalakarama Sutta in the dark night of the full moon day of the dark fortnight under the dark Thimbaru tree, black Thimbaru tree. So this is Kala Buddharakkhita, Kalakarama Sutta, Kala Thimbaru tree, and Kala Pakke. So these all terms coming as Kala Kala, representing the black darkness. So this has given some sort of significance to the event, and even the king of that time, that King Saddhatissa, also has attained listening to the sermon, and it is mentioned that he was little late to listen, And therefore, he simply stand behind the crowd the whole night. He actually has listened to the Dhamma. And at the end of the preaching, he actually said sadhu sadhu, and the whole crowd then only knew that the king also was there listening to the Dhamma. And it is mentioned that he offered the whole kingdom to Venerable Kala Buddha Rakkhita, and again Venerable Kala Buddha Rakkhita returned it back to the king, asking to rule it properly. So this kind of a historical background is there for this Kalakarama Sutta in terms of Sri Lanka. Now, as I mentioned, it's a deep sutta and its depth is fairly highlighted. And again, the phrases mentioned there is a little dry. So you can't immediately understand what it is mentioned. And that's why the book, The Magic of the Mind, is extremely interesting, extremely important, which gives us fair assessment or deeper understanding to the sutta. And again, certain in-depth knowledges lie behind the dry verses or dry statements available in the sutta is very well explained by Venerable Katakurunde Jnanananda Mahathero. And again, it is evident that the epistemology of the Buddha or the Dhamma is well explained in this sutta. You know, if you consider the ancient Buddhist teaching, so there are certain very sophisticated kind of teachings are included there, and that is well explained by Venerable Katakurunde Jnanananda Mahathero. And there are chatuskotika takka, or what you call as the four ways of arguing or kind of logical statements, are in a different manner explained in this sutta, and that has actually given some sort of a definition to certain aspects of the Buddha's knowledge. Actually, how he look at the whole world, how he perceives the world, and whatever the things that the others are perceiving, how he is perceiving, and there is nothing that he cannot perceive. So likewise, very interesting statements which explain the transcendental knowledge, wisdom, unsurpassed knowledge and the wisdom of the Buddha is very well explained. And if we consider the book Magic of the Mind, so Venerable Katakurunde Jnanananda Mahathero written the Magic of the Mind book in long ago, actually before he passed away, he published its translation called Manase Mayava in Sinhala. And very interestingly, he starts the book with a really interesting statement mentioning etadattha bhikkave kata, etadattha mantana, etadattha upanisa, etadattham sotavadhanam, yadidam anupada cittassa vimokkho. Now this is a very interesting statement he has extracted from another sutta. So actually here Buddha mentioned the purpose of the whole conversation, the purpose of the whole consultation, and the purpose of whole reliance, the purpose of lending ear is nothing but the clinging free deliverance of the mind. Now you know that even now we are listening to Dhamma, we are discussing Dhamma. And again, you may refer certain books, you may refer some other Dhamma talks, you may be practicing Dhamma, and you may associate certain people, maybe Kalyana Mittas, to understand Dhamma. So likewise, we do various things. For what purpose? So this is very beautifully mentioned. The ultimate result that one has to keep as the aim is nothing but the Anupada Chittasa Vimokkho. That is clinging free deliverance of the mind. So this point is very well highlighted by Katakurunde Jnanananda Mahathero as the very first statement available in this book. Even though it doesn't come in the very sutta, the Kalakarama Sutta, it has a very great meaning, and he highlights this in the covering page of the book. And chapter 1, let's go through a little deeper into the book. And chapter 1 actually gives a prologue of the magic show. As I mentioned, the sutta itself appears a little dry to the reader because it has some philosophical statements, epistemological statements. So therefore, it's a bit difficult to understand. But as a really interesting writer, capable writer, Most Venerable Katakurunde Jnananda Mahathero actually has put this magic show as the very theme of the book. You know, if you are to deliver a very dry kind of a topic, that may not appealing to the listener or to the reader. Now, what Katakurunde Jnananda Mahathero has done, he gives a very interesting topic at the very early stage, so that our attention being captured to the whole thing. And interestingly, he explained this, and he explained it really vividly, so that we may understand what he is going to tell throughout the whole book. You know, if you consider a magic show, so we may spend a lot of money, spend a lot of time going to a queue and ultimately rush into a closed area, so that a magician may show various tricks, and those may be quite interesting, and we may be thrilled, and we may be really happy to see that magic show. So we being living in a completely different world, magical world, during each and every magical event. But on the other hand, if someone wants to look at various tricks, various cheating that this particular magician is doing, then he may be going in a different motivation. Probably he may go to the stage, maybe coveringly he may be trying to look at various tricks shown by the magician. Maybe he would be able to recognize various cheatings, various tricks, or various hidden pockets, or various hidden holes, etc., so that the magician is using to cheat us, just to show different magics which are not really sort of actual things. Rather, he know how to deceive us, how to cheat us, and ultimately we have lost a fair amount of money and our time, and that is how a magical show magician is actually doing his job. Now, in this simile, actually Buddha highlights Vijnana as a magician. Mayupamancha Vijnana. So this is a statement coming in the Penapindupama Sutta. So very beautifully, Katakurunde Mahathero highlights it very beautifully. And he used that as the very earliest theme of this book. And the chapter 2 actually explains the sutta, its translation. As I mentioned, the sutta is a short sutta. Its translation is explained, and it is actually mentioned, as I told earlier, so there are 5 instances that the earth trembled when this particular sutta is explained. Now, there are certain areas that I like to highlight. So there is what you call Sarvajnata Bhumi. So that is the omniscience of the Buddha is explained very concisely in this sutta. When that is explained, once the earth has trembled. And again, Buddha's complete eradication of fetters, Kinasrava, that stage is explained in this sutta. And when that is also explained, it is mentioned that the earth trembled. And again, when Buddha mentioned how precisely he know this, he know that, likewise he properly established his truthfulness, Satcha Bhumi. So when that is explained again the third time, the earth has to. And again, Buddha mentioned the emptiness of the whole phenomena and whole experience. So that Sunyata Bhumi is also explained in the Sutta. And once that is explained, again the earth trembled. And finally, Buddha mentioned the suchness, the tadi, suchness and the such person. That qualities are also explained in the Sutta very concisely. And when that is explained, again the earth has trembled. You can see these dhamma, these points are not kind of mundane type of things. Sarvakyata bhumi, then shinasrava bhumi, satcha bhumi, then the sunyata bhumi, and the tadi bhumi. What you call the omniscience of the Buddha, the complete eradication of fetters, his establishment of the on the truth, and then his understanding on the emptiness, and again he being Tathagata, he being a such person, Tadi. So that these are very interesting and really eye-opening kind of topics. And when these are explained in the Sutta, it is mentioned that the earth has trembled. And as I mentioned in the second chapter of the book, so Venerable Jnananda Mahathero has put the translation of this Sutta. So as I mentioned in the chapter 2, go through the previous slides so that just to give an idea. So Sutta is the excerpt I have given here. And then the historical background I have explained, so that is very much explained here. And again, the Magic of the Mind book and its Sinha translation, so this is here. And again, the purpose, which Katakurunijanand Mahathero has taken from another sutta, is explained here. And again, as a magic show, which I explained as a prologue, this is the first chapter of the book. And the second chapter is actually the translation of the Kalakarama Sutta. And third chapter and others are actually some deep aspects of the Dhamma he has put so that we can understand the depth and the value of the Sutta. Say in the chapter 3, the sign and significance in sense perception. Now here actually when we are seeing something, so actually we have to use these terms, something. So actually we are the ones making it something. But when you consider an Arahant, the Buddha, so for him, so there is no anything apart from seeing. And similarly, when we hear something, there is no anything special apart from hearing. And when we consider smelling, there is no any particular thing apart from smelling. When we consider tasting, there is no any particular thing apart from tasting. So the all, so everything is very much like activities rather than sort of nouns, rather than sort of something. And similarly, when we consider cognition, other than cognition, there is no any particular thing that we cognize. So these are, I mean, some deep aspects of the Buddha's teaching that we can't immediately understand. Why Buddha is telling like this? So that is actually well explained in the Sutta, well explained in the Magic of the Mind, because fair amount of understanding is required. Coming through the suttas, coming through the Dhamma, and again some experiential knowledge is required for one to understand what this is meant, what is meant by these kinds of statements. And again, sometimes we know that we are talking on the nimittas, various signs through which that we recognize certain people, and to recognize certain phenomena. So in order to do this recognition, we use various signs. Say for example, if you refer a person, so that person may be a little taller, so maybe he's with the mustache, or he may be fat, he may be say a little bent. So likewise, certain features, certain signs are there when we are recognizing a certain person. So that is how we do this recognition. Now, so these signs actually are some kind of a deceiving nature is there. So we consider they are available, they are permanent, and they represent someone, they represent something. And Buddha mentioned, actually this making of something, making someone, is completely because of our raga dosa moha. So raga dosa moha, lust, hatred and delusion. So if we don't have raga dosa moha, so seeing may be there, hearing may be there, smelling, touching, sensing, cognizing, this may be there. That doesn't represent anything. So, and actually, probably if you consider the Vipassana meditation, so you know, if one is capable of understanding the transient nature of various things, impermanent nature, so more and more he deeply understands the impermanence, its rapid arising and passing away, so that makes him unable to recognize kind of a sign. So that is how one may go to the animitta samadhi, or what we call as a signless concentration. So that is where now some sort of understanding is there, mostly based on the impermanence. As a result of that, now the mind is not taking any sign. So as a result of that, so some kind of raga dosa moha may be to some extent abandoned, or at least temporarily subsided, and this so we can get some sort of feeling, just a slight understanding of what Buddha is talking here, even when we are, if one is experiencing this animitta samadhi. Because at that time there is no sign as such that one may be encounter. So that actually indicates maybe temporary subsiding of raga dosa moha. Now interestingly, in certain suttas, Buddha mentioned, and again Venerable Sariputta mentioned, ragoko auso nimitta karo, doso nimitta karano, moho nimitta karano. So when someone has lust in him, when someone has hatred in him, when someone has delusion in him, so that is the real culprit, that is the real cause, making various signs, using those signs, making someone or making something. So these teachings are well explained in the book, and giving various other references to the sutta, various other references to the various suttas, Venerable Katukulunda Jnananda Mahathero well explained these deep teachings in his book Magic of the Mind. Now dependent arising. Now you know the what you call Paticchasamuppada. The main theme is the principle, idappacceta. This being, this comes to be. With the arising of this, this arises. This not being, this does not come to be. And with the cessation of this, this ceases. Now, for someone who is not familiar with this statement, may appear like a little difficult, but most of us may be aware, avijja paccha sankhara, sankhara paccha vijnana, vijnana paccha namarupam, namarupa paccha salayatanam. So likewise, we explain the conditioned phenomena or those 12 links, and most of us can remember them. But those 12 links are not the important thing, but the underneath principle, what you call the idappacceta, that is the most important thing. Actually, in certain suttas, like Pachaya Sutta, Buddha explain this principle as well as the examples for this principle. So for example, avijja paccaya sankhara. So that indicates because of avijja, because of ignorance, the formations arise. When the ignorance is available, formations are going to be available. When the arising of ignorance, formations are also going to be arises. And again, if there is no ignorance, there can't be formations. And with the cessation of ignorance, formations also cease. So likewise, you can understand, we can apply this principle to each and every link of Patissamuppada. So for example, the Sankhara Paccaya Vijnana. To that link, we can apply this theory. Vijnana Paccaya Nama Rupam. We can apply this theory. So likewise, so you can now understand all those 12 links are certain kind of examples for this principle. So they are the ones satisfy this principle. So understanding this principle is the most important thing. So that is why that when Venerable Assaji delivering the sermon, very precise, very concise sermon to Venerable to this Upatissa and Kolita, from the very statement, very first statement, Upatissa was able to understand it. Ye dhamma hetu prabhava te sang hetum tathagato aha te sanchayo nirodho evam madhi mahasamano. So they are, in short, so this Patissamuppada, the Iddhappacchayata principle is mentioned. So when Venerable Assaji has delivered this sermon, and immediately Upatissa was able to understand that. Even later, when Upatissa mentioned the whole verse, Kolita also was able to understand. They are the ones later became Sariputta and Moggallana. So you can see how important it is to understand these certain principles, which is explaining the conditionality or the dependent arising of all phenomena. So this is well explained in chapter 4. And now we coming to the vertical interplay of consciousness and name and form, vijnana and namarupa. So this is an interesting point highlighted by various suttas. Now, say for example, in Nalakalapa Sutta. So, Venerable Sariputta explained, now consciousness depends on the name and form. Name and form depends on the consciousness. Like a bamboo reeds, if there are two bundles of bamboo reeds, so if they are connected together and they are leaning together, if one drops, the other also drops. So, it shows the interdependency, interplay between name and form and consciousness. And on the other hand, Mahanidana Sutta again explained in Digha Nikaya, Buddha mentioned that this understanding of consciousness and name and form, their interdependency, is one of the very subtle aspect of the wisdom. So Buddha mentioned, actually this is to the extent that one's understanding may grow. So if one can understand this more subtle nature, the interdependency between consciousness and name and form, and he may go through the arahantship. So that level, so this understanding is more valuable. So, and again, Katakurunda Jnananda Mahathero explained this as a kind of a whirlpool. So water waves are trying to go on the opposite directions, which makes ultimately a water pool, the whirlpool. And the whirlpool is when it is created, so it starts to absorb various things. And it generates a lot of power and it attracts many things. So similarly, so when we don't understand the interdependency between this name and form and the consciousness, so we also go through this whole sansaric journey without knowing these aspects. And in chapter 6, Venerable Katagurunda Nyananda Mahathero explained the eye making. And that is actually the Sakkaya Ditti. How Sakkaya Ditti is arisen when some kind of an attachment is available. Now, in the particular sutta called Ananda Sutta, Venerable Ananda mentioned Mantaniputta Thero. When Venerable Ananda was a young monk, he's a novice monk, so he, Mantaniputta, Punna Mantaniputta Thero, explained to him a very interesting point. That is, owing to dependence when Ananda comes the conceit, I am, not without dependence. So, because of dependence, depends on, because of an attachment, clinging, the conceit, I am, comes to be. So, without that kind of an attachment, there can't be any kind of eye-making, mind-making, eye-conceit. So, such things cannot arise. And he gave a very interesting simile. Now, suppose that you are going in front of a mirror and you see a person. You see your image. But with that image, you immediately have kind of a connection and you consider, okay, this is I am. So what I see is this. So this is me. And assume that, okay, I have to prepare my hair, prepare my clothes. So the eye making, mind making immediately happens when you are in front of a mirror. So Venerable Punnamantaniputta Thero give that simile. So similarly, like you go in front of a mirror, that with respect to that image, you immediately create a sense of I. That whenever you attach to form, you create a sense of I. Whenever you attach to or cling to various kinds of feelings, you get the sense of I. Whenever you have kind of an attachment to perceptions, you get the sense of I. Whenever you have some attachment to various formations, different kinds of mental states, you get the notion of I. And whenever you are attached to some kind of a consciousness, again the sense of I going to be arise. So you can see some these dhamma are quite interesting and very difficult to understand. And those are well explained in the book. Now in chapter 7, so Buddha mentioned about the, so this Katakurunda Nyananda Mahathero mentioned about the transcendental path. So that is where one is going through Sila Samadhi Panya, the Noble Eightfold Path. And what are the different levels that one may encounter? An interesting point is taken from the Kosambi Sutta. There's a conversation between several venerables, Venerable Ananda, Venerable Musila, Venerable Narada. So likewise, several venerables were there, and they want to verify whether one is an arahant. Actually, in order to verify that, what they do is they want to have kind of a discussion, and they want to recognize the deeper understanding of the Dhamma. And when one monk explained about his understanding about the Dhamma, so then another venerable mentioned, okay, you are an arahant. And another venerable actually invites this particular venerable to ask the same question from him. And when that same question is asked, so this venerable mentioned that I am not an arahant, but I have some understanding about this Dhamma. So we can say he's a trainee, he's a Sotapanna, he's a Sakadagami. He hasn't fully comprehended the Dhamma, but he to some extent understood the Dhamma. So these kinds of very interesting points are highlighted in the book. And so the simile given here is also very interesting. Suppose that you are going to a desert and you are in need of water. You are feeling tired, you feel thirsty, and again you want some water. And due to somehow say you come across a well. So once you go there, once you have reached that well, say you can see water, but still you can't drink. You have no bucket, you have no any other way to get that water, but you can see water. So this is similarly interestingly pointed out in this sutta. For a sotapanna, so he has seen the direction, he has recognized the path, he has understood the path, but not yet fully comprehended. He now knows the direction. That's all. He now knows the direction. Other than that, he hasn't fully comprehended it. He hasn't fully realized it, but he now knows very well, okay, this is the path to travel. So this kind of interesting points are explained in chapter 7. And chapter 8 actually shows suchness, for this, the padi, the term suchness is explained in this particular chapter. They are dependent on the idapachetha. So how one may abandon various defilements and come into a state where he doesn't show any kind of a self, and he doesn't establish any place, and he is mentioned as a such person, padi person, such like one. So these are difficult, sometimes not much familiar terms, such like person, padi person. Sometimes this padi term is highlighted with respect to ups and downs of the life, vicissitudes of the life. But more than that, there's a deep teaching to this suchness. There are, one is going through the practice, vipassana practice, with respect to the knowledge, with respect to the non-grasping state, that he is now trying to abandon all the defilements. So for example, you are recognizing kind of a non-grasping state of mind, unattached state of mind, and you are trying to abandon various defilements, making use of that as a kind of a reference. So again and again you are revisiting this suchness. There is no any particular footing is available, any attachment is available, any grasping is available. So that very state one is using to abandon various defilements. So these are highlighted in chapter 8. Chapter 9. Now, this is where he, Patakamandaya Jnananda Mahathero, wants to highlight the concepts. Actually, various concepts we do use in meditation, and actually, these concepts are useful to some extent, and later, with wisdom, one may abandon all the concepts. So, through the concepts, one is actually understanding things, but later, all the concepts are abandoned and mind becomes somewhat non-grasping, not established. And actually that is well explained in the next chapter. So, the value of concepts are also highlighted, and their practical usage is also highlighted. And he mentioned, actually the concepts are being used to sort of establish on Nibbana. Concepts are being used to establish on some sort of deliverance, deathlessness, and as the joining point, crossing point is the wisdom. For example, various concepts are there. So when those concepts are penetrated through wisdom, one may come towards the Nibbana. One may go towards the deliverance. So that is being highlighted in chapter 8, chapter 9. And chapter 10, non-manifestative consciousness. This is called anidassana vinyana. Vinyanam anidassanam anantam sabbato pavam. Ekta apocha patani tejo vayo nagaditi. Ekta digancha rasancha anantolam subhasudam. यत्तनामञ्च रूपञ्च असे साङ्ग् उपरुच्यति विज्ञानस्य निरोधेन यत्ते साङ्ग् उपरुच्यति. सो दिस् अ वेरी इण्टरेस्टिङ्ग् वर्स् कमिङ्ग् इन् द केवाट सुत्त आफ् दि गणिताय. वेरी इण्टरेस्टिङ्ग् एक्स्प्लेनेशन् इस् गिवन् टु दिस् नन् मेनिफेस्टेटिव् कन्सेप्ट्स् सो अन्एस्टाब्लिश्ड् कन्सेप्ट्स् निदर्शन विज्ञान अपकृत विज्ञान. So we discussed some dependency between consciousness and name and form. The consciousness mentioned there is fully entangled in name and form, fully established in name and form. So without name and form, that consciousness can't be. That is why we call it as dependent consciousness, abhisankata vijnana. So if you consider I consciousness, it is fully dependent on I and the form. If you consider ear consciousness, it depends on ear and the sound. If you consider, say, tongue consciousness, it depends on tongue and the taste. If you consider nose consciousness, it depends on the smells and the nose. And if you consider body consciousness, it depends on the body and the tactile sensations. If you consider mind consciousness, it depends on mind and the mental objects. Now you can see these consciousness are fully dependent. They have the nature to arise and pass away. They have the nature to establish on something. So for example, eye consciousness is well established on form, the rupa. Say ear consciousness well established on the sound. Say mind consciousness well established on whatever the mental objects. It has a nature of establishment. It is thoroughly selecting something, and once one is selecting that, so our mind try to establish there, go there, manifest there, and fully come to a kind of a grown-up state in that particular state. But on the other hand, when one is able to abandon raga dosa moha, when one is able to abandon lust, hatred and delusion without any kind of a grasping, so the mind comes to this non-manifested consciousness, unestablished consciousness. And at that level, Buddha mentioned, "Ekta apo cha patavi tejo vayo nadadati." So any kind of grasping, any kind of putting to war, earth, water, that kind of forms are not happening. And again, etta digancha rassancha anuntulam subhasam. So this kind of a dichotomy is there. Say, good, bad, then long, short, then small, large. So likewise, all these terms are coming to be when we have some sort of a comparison. But when one is in the unestablished consciousness, so it doesn't do that sort of a dichotomy. It doesn't represent that kind of a selection. Maybe consciousness is available, you being conscious, but it doesn't select any particular thing. So seeing is just seeing. Hearing is just seeing. It's hearing. Say smelling, tasting, touching is that all. That's all. And the cognizing is just cognizing, but doesn't select any particular thing, doesn't select any particular something or someone. Though in other terms, it doesn't create anything. If we create something, if we create anything, then only we go and establish, we go and grasp, we go and cling. But at this level, there is no that kind of grasping. As a result of that, there is no establishment. So therefore, this level of consciousness doesn't represent any nama rupa. So at this level, the consciousness is free from nama rupa. So one's mind does not show any nama rupa. So the consciousness is not entangled in nama rupa. Chapter 11. As a last chapter, Venerable Katakuruma Nyanantero give an account of Nibbana. And Buddha actually mentioned, so this, the pure mind is an inherent quality to everyone. You know? So papasaranidam bhittave cittam tanchako agantukehi pakkilesehi pakkilittam. So this original mind is completely pure, it is clean. But because of the including defilements, it gets impure, it gets polluted. So if one believes this teaching, when Buddha is mentioning that, if one believes it, then he try to again come across that original nature of the mind. So at the beginning it could be difficult because it is completely covered with various hindrances. There is lustful thoughts, there are ill will, there is sloth and torpor, there is restlessness, regrets, there are various doubts. So the mind is fully covered by various hindrances. But if one is able to practice vipassana, so time to time he may encounter a mind completely free from defilements. So at that time he may have a kind of an insight. So this original nature of the mind is available. It is not completely absent. Is available, but unfortunately being covered by various defilements. So if one is able to abandon all these defilements, then what we have is nothing but this original mind. Then so this so that is where Patakulanda Jnananda Mahathero mentioned, say when one is able to abandon all mind making conceit and all sort of formations, sankhara, and then the mind become what you call visankhara. So it doesn't make anything, it doesn't create anything. So sankhara upasama, papancha upasama. So it has all the proliferations calmed down, it has all the formations calmed down. It doesn't make any formations. It doesn't do any preparations. It doesn't do any additions, subtractions, multiplications, so these kinds of things. So awareness is there. So it's a kind of a natural awareness. And it doesn't do any kind of formations. Say you see something, but on top of seeing that you are not creating anything. You may hear various things, but based on what you have heard, you are not making anything. So you may cognize something, but on top of that, you are not making anything. So likewise, so Patanjali Jnananda Mahathero explained, so through the mind development, so one may able to recognize that original nature of the mind, which is non-manifestative, which has the kind of a purity, which has a clarity. So that is highlighted in chapter 11. Now, if we come to the last part of the presentation. Now actually we can say this some more information about the book. It is first published in 1974 in English as The Magic of the Mind, and later in 2009 it is translated into Sinhala called Manase Mayava, and it is translated to various other languages like Yugoslavian, German and Korean. And you can download the book, both books, Magic of the Mind and the Manase Mayava. You can visit Seen Through the Net website, and there all the works of Katukulande Mahathero is included. There are very interesting books written by him. Actually, in Nisanwane on every Tuesday, we are discussing concept and reality, Sankalpe Saha Yatharthe. That is also a very interesting book published by Katukulande Mahathero. And Magic of the Mind book is also available for download. And as a last thing, I like to mention that Patakulanda Mahathero has narrated the whole Sinhala book. And I like to show you his own speech, his narrations as the last thing of this presentation. So let's listen to Patakulanda Jnananda Mahathero. So I have just taken a little part of his narrations coming in the whole Manase Mayava book, the Sinhala book. Okay, so with that I like to conclude the Dhamma sermon. And if you have any question related to today's presentation, to the Dhamma sermon, you can ask now.
Thank you very much, Bhante. We actually received a couple of questions regarding the sermon and general questions as well. But actually, because this is our 100th session, we'd like to give a bit of information on what we've been doing, because also a couple of people have been asking as well a bit of information about what we're doing because they're new. So just to give it a background on what we've been doing. So we started about 2 years ago. Our first session was on the 26th of April in 2020. And that first session was with Venerable Dhammajiva Mahathera. And since then, we've done about 100 practice sessions, 100 Dhamma talks, and 100 question and answer sessions. In that time, the number of questions that we've had answers is a lot, 722. And we've discussed a number of suttas. We started with Anapanasati Sutta, and then we did Kayagata Sati Sutta, Vibhanga Sutta, Sabbasava Sutta, Sati Sampajana Sutta, and many others, too big to list. And just so everyone's aware, all our sessions are recorded, and all the Dhamma talk materials that we have are available on the Nisaranavanya website. We'll post the link up on the chat so you can have a look, and especially if you missed the talk, this talk will be recorded and posted up there. In addition to that, we've organized 3 retreats in conjunction with you, Bhante, and that's to help with intensive practice. The other really good thing to see was we had a few high school kids, and they wanted to do further practice after doing Satipatthana or the Mindful Kids program, and they've been able to join us and continue their practice, which is really great. I'd also like to give a special mention to Auntie Bhadra. She was actually unable to attend today as she's traveling to the UK, but this program is really greatly in depth to her. It was her idea to create an English program and something that could really cater for young adults. And then especially something that has a practical application, where mindfulness is prioritized. And, to put into perspective for my own real experience, I guess, there's probably only a limited number of, English programs available. If you have a look, there's like unlimited Sinhalese programs, but not much to help out people who are English speaking and who are sort of young adults as well. So we are really thankful for her to actually come up with this idea and to help us out. And secondly, I'd like to sort of thank our two main organizers, Chamila and Saranga. I don't think anyone's really aware of the amount of hours that are put into this program to make it work by those two, and a lot of it's unseen. And all we see is a program that runs really smoothly. So thank you very much. And last thing, I'd like to sort of give a special mention to all our presenters, organizers, and other walking mindfulness practitioners. So that's specifically Nirupa, Sudesh, Gayani, Senali, and Meadari, for all the efforts that they've done to help run this program. So with that, I'd like to go to the questions. We're only going to take three of them, otherwise we won't have enough time. Question number one, general question. Dear Bhante, thank you for bringing up such a difficult topic and explaining in a simple manner. Recently, I have heard something similar from Ajahn Amaro, citing one of Mahatheras in Thai tradition. Venerable Buddha Dasa used to explain the three characteristics of all that is conditioned, anicca, dukkha, and anatta, into nine by adding what Bhante highlighted here, such as tatta, invariability, avi, tatta, and not otherwiseness, etc. Can we consider these characteristics of dependent arising as extensions to the well-known anicca, dukkha, and anatta? Much merits for your valuable service with metta. That's the end of the question.
This tatata, avidata, ananyatata. So these are actually related to the particularly in this sutta and various other suttas. Buddha highlights them with respect to Patisamuppada, Udapaccheta. So he mentioned that this is as a theory, as a principle, and this can't be changed. This is it, and you can't change it. So likewise, he firmly established his theory. So that is why these terms like tatatha, avitatatha, ananyatatha is explained. And actually the impermanent non-self and the suffering, and these are also, we can say, I mean, these are inherent characteristics and of all the conditioned phenomena, and they can't be changed. So you can't make a permanency, you can't make a non-suffering, or you can't make a self. Rather, everything, all the conditioned phenomena are impermanent, unsatisfactory, and non-self. Therefore, recognizing these three universal characteristics also as tatata, avitatata, ananyatata is reasonable in a way, because those are the universal characteristics. Those are the universal truths. And therefore, I don't think anything wrong in mentioning like that. But as we discussed, Buddha particularly has used these terms, tatata, avitatata, ananyatata, idappacceta, as a representation of his Patisamuppada principle. This conditions that, and with the arising of this, that also arises. If there is no availability of this, that also not available, and with the cessation of this, that also cease. So this principle is something very unique and something interesting. And because of not penetrating this truth, we are wandering in the samsara. So Buddha is the one who realizes this truth, and then he explains it with various examples, with various similes. He's trying to explain it, make us available, make it available. I mean, try to simplify it, and ask us to come and see. So therefore, the Idappacceta principle is very interesting and quite valuable teaching of the Buddha. So that is the specially highlighted as tatata, ananyatata, Idappacceta. Yeah.
Question number two of three, general question. In the simile of the two reeds, consciousness depends on name and form. Within name and form, there is consciousness as well. So is there duplication or two consciousness leading or depending on each other? Can Bhante please explain this? How can there be two consciousness? That's the end of the question.
Two consciousness? What is it, Chatu? I didn't really get it.
I'll read it out again. I think...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. In the simile of the two reeds, consciousness depends on name and form. And within name and form, there is consciousness as well. So is there duplication or two consciousness leading to depending on each other? Can Bhante explain?
I got it.
Yeah,
I got it. So actually, we should not sort of confuse on the typical five aggregates. So they are actually in the later commentarial times. So the rupa, that is taken as one thing, and the other aggregates, say vedana, that is the feelings, sanya, perceptions, formations, sankhara, vijnana, the consciousness. So those four are taken as nama. Now, form aggregate is taken as rupa, other four aggregates are taken as nama. So this is one kind of classification, categorization. But on the other hand, when we are discussing Patisamuppada, where are the dependency between name and form and consciousness? So there the name and form is not exactly what we discussed in the previous categorization. Here name is what we call Vedana, Sanya, Chetana, Passa, Manasikara. Vedana is the feeling, Sanya, perception, Chetana, volition, Passa, the contact, Manasikara, the attention. Now these are the five elementary characteristics of the mind, and that is being included in the name. Form is also is the sign of the form. Now that name and form is what dependent on the consciousness. So in that name and form explanation, there is no consciousness. Name and form only has the form is form part only has the sign for the sign of the forms, rupa sanya, and the name part has vedana sanya chetana passa manasikara. So these are the very elementary chetasikas, elementary kind of mental qualities. So within that there is no consciousness. There is no consciousness included there. So this name and form actually depends on consciousness. So consciousness is different from that. So don't put the previous categorization, that five aggregates related categorization came during the commentarial time, to this definition. So that is where sometimes we go wrong. So we are trying to interpret the real, say, now the Patisamuppada and this ancient teaching or the early Buddhist teachings. We should not sometimes complicate with this later categorizations. Yeah.
Question number three. This is the last one. General question. Dear Bhante, appreciate if you can explain a bit more about this phrase. I have well seen that the ceasing of becoming is Nibbana, yet I am not an arahant in whom influxes are extinct. Does that mean always first understanding of dependent arising comes and then eventually influxes are getting extinct? With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, actually Bhava Nirodho Nibbanam is something highlighted here. So when one is not going through becoming process, so when Bhava Tanha is, say, temporarily subsided, so there is no becoming process going on. So then some sort of a detachment is there, some sort of a freedom is there. So that is what actually highlighted by the Kosambi Sutta. And even though he has realized that, he is not yet an arahant. So that is the interesting question, actually very interesting topic pointed out by Katagurinda Jnananda Mahathero. So as explained in the Kosambi Sutta, so when one see water, so he know exactly, okay, there is water here. But he hasn't yet approached that. He hasn't drink it. Hasn't drank it. He didn't use any kind of a mechanism, a method to get that water. But he has seen it. So similarly, it is mentioned when one becomes a sotapanna, so he recognized the path. Noble Eightfold Path. We know exactly, okay, this is the path I need to cultivate in order to fully comprehend Nibbana, or in order to fully abandon various kinds of defilements, Paga Dosa Moha, then only he becomes completely free from Raga Dosa Moha. So one definition of Nibbana is called Ragakkaya Dosakkaya Mohakkaya. Complete eradication of Raga, complete eradication of Dosa, complete eradication of Moha. So when that is done, so he is an Arahant. But before that, he only recognized the path. He recognized the Noble Eightfold Path. Now he knows, okay, exactly this is what I have to do. So now he is more and more cultivating the path, developing the path. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada Arya Satchang Bhavetabba. Now he has seen the Noble Eightfold Path. He recognized it. He realized it, and now he wants to develop it so that ultimately the complete eradication of Raga Dosa Moha is done. Then only he may be in the, say we can say, kind of a full-fledged Nibbana. There are complete eradication of lust, hatred, delusion has happened. Now in the particular sutta, in this Kosambi Sutta, so the seeing of the path is very similar to that seeing of water. The development of the path is where now he is trying to get water, maybe trying to drink water using various mechanisms. He may find out a bucket or rope and etc. so that he can get some water. So these are the developments. And ultimately he may drink and have a bathing of water, and that is where the completion of the path.
That ends our questions for today, Bhante. We had actually a couple more questions about the program in general, so I might just give a quick announcement about that. So we run this program every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Australia time, or that's 2 p.m. Sri Lanka time. You can join virtually via Zoom, and the format's usually 30 minutes of walking, 30 minutes sitting, 30 minutes stomach walk, and then 30 minutes question and answer. We'll post a little our email address up if you want to find details on how to join. If you did hear some disturbances, there's actually a heavy storm in Mitridala. So in case you did hear some sort of disturbances, that's what was actually happening. So with that, I'd like to pass on to Gayani for the conclusion.
First of all, I would like to thank Bhante and pass the merits for spending this valuable time for all of us, especially him being sick today. Secondly, for all the seen and unseen, those who have helped and supported for this program. Also for all of us who have helped on organizing this program. And finally, would like to thank and pass the merits to all the participants. Okas aham vandami bante. Maya khatam punyam samina anumodi tatram.
Sadhu sadhu anumodami.
Samina khatam punyam maihanda tatram.
Sadhu anumodi tatram.
Sadhu sadhu anumodami. Okas dwaratena katam sabbang achyam kamitame bante.
Kamami kamitabbang.
Sadhu okas kamami bante.
Sukhi hotu nibbana pachayo hotu.
Sadhu dutiyampi okas kamami bante.
Sukhi hotu nibbana pachayo hotu.
Sadhu tatiyampi okas kamami bante.
Sukhi hotu nibbana pachayo hotu. Abhivadana silis nicham buddha pachayino chattaro dhamma vaddhanti ayu anno sukham balam ayurarogya sampatti sagga sampatti mevacha ato nibbana sampatti iminate samujjatu.
Sadhu sadhu sadhu. Silavantam gunavantam punyakittam anuttaram dullapena mayavattam pasitum vanditum varam. Sarputtadu theranam agatham patipatiya saddhasiram dayavasam putta puttam namamaham.
That ends the program.
Yeah, you can wind up the session, Chatu.
That ends the program for today. Thank you very much for joining Theravansaranai.
Yeah, Theravansaranai.